All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast. Jay Bird, how's she dangling? Ah, man.
Wow,
man,
what a day,
man.
How's it going there in Canada?
I you know, trolling Wabagoon. That's that just out here rocking, banging, and slanging is what's happening right now. Just saw the most major minor of my life. It was amazing. Up here with Doc Boy Randy. Say hello, Doc Boy Randy.
Hello,
Jay. So we have Doc Boy. We've got Doc Boy Randy's assistant, Cliff. We're sitting here. He's a Doc Boy in training. You know, it takes a while to be a professional.
What kind of course you got to take for that?
Well, I mean, there's a safety course. There's an etiquette course, right? And then once you advance to like head Doc Boy, then you get in the ice game, and that's where the money's made, right, Doc Boy Randy?
Big money in the ice game.
That's all you need to know.
Okay, that's good stuff.
So I know last week you were talking about, you know, you being a complex man fishing simple structure, something like that.
No, a simple man fishing complex structure.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a complex man that fishes simple structure because I do fish off the dock. That's where I do get most of my hits.
Keep it easy. Back to basics.
Yeah. And don't think I didn't recognize whoever else was on the dock down there. So it used to just kind of be my spot, but somebody else is working it.
He also used to work your other spot, Lydia, correct?
Oh, that is a sore subject. And wow, I can't believe you brought that up on the podcast. But yeah, Lydia left me.
Cliff,
the ice road trucker. So I tracked him down to the Nestor Falls area, and that's where I found his Peterbilt, and yeah, that's where I met this gentleman.
Well, there you have it, folks. The news from Wabagoon. What are you going to do? So with Doc Boy Randy's in the house here. Jay, what is new? What is hip? What is happening at the Muskie Shop?
What is happening at the Muskie Shop? We've got those sales on the Abu Beast reels. There's very few left. Take advantage of that before they're all gone.
What's the deal on
those? They're $100 off.
Wow. $100 race.
We've got a new video coming out tomorrow, Steve. You might be familiar with it. You're in it.
Nice.
Yes. It's on netting muskies, and it's man's courts, and it covers everything.
I got a couple guys that need to watch a video on netting muskies.
See, no, there you go. It can help you. Know, it's not something that's like, it's like backlashing.
I also am filming a video called Don't Do a Barrel Roll When Someone's Figure Eighting. So that's the next thing I'm working on here. Doc Boy Randy learned a valuable lesson today. And sometimes, guys, life's not about what you get. It's about what you learn. And so I think it's over Lydia is what happened. Cliff, did you think that was out of spite?
Well, we bonded over our shared loss, I would say. You know, sometimes star-crossed lovers... They have a kinship. So,
Do you think Doc Boy Randy pooched that fish for you on purpose today? Yes or no?
Yes.
There you have it. So anyway, folks, I don't recommend if someone's figuring a nice one, just doing a barrel roll. You know, make as much noise as possible.
I was on fire. You stopped dropping.
He was on fire. He pulled the Ricky Bobby, folks. Anyway. Oh man, it is what it is. But so the video, Jay, you said it's on musky netting. If I recall, it's kind of about coordinated netting and solo netting a little bit there too. How'd you turn out? I've not seen it.
Real good. That'll come out tomorrow on YouTube. And I'm trying to think of what's on it. It's in depth stuff, you know. And
yeah,
I think it's pertinent information everyone can pick up something.
Well, it's one of those things of like the skill we get to practice the least is netting. That's always like the last thing you go, well, you done this and you done that and you got the structure and you got the casting and you got the things going on and whammo blammo, what now? And that's the game of musky fishing. Basically all hell breaks loose when you least expect it. And you know, it was funny, something that I would talk about, there's the fridge of doom. Anyway, Doc Boy Randy, Vominos. Anyway, Doc Boy Randy's on the Pepsis. Anyway, so I listen, I didn't take Lydia. Don't give me any lip. So, long story short, Jay.
I did.
Cliff did, and he did it well. So, anyway, just came off of possibly the most brutal frontal shift I've ever been in on a Canada trip in my life. So you
had that cold weather, didn't you?
85 to 41, right?
Had so, some of that here, too.
It was brutality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I can tell you. It fell apart. And I got to say this. You can't catch them every day. You know, even your good friend Steve here. When it is that drastic, there's always a chance. There's always a shot. If you got a chip and a chair, you're still in the game. But nonetheless, that was tough. And sometimes you just got to kind of revert back to some basics. And I'll tell you, the only rip that happened came from just dredge trolling. Getting on hard structure, getting on and just like zombie trolling over and over and over and over. And that's kind of the thing. And now we're on the rebound, right? Congratulations. I didn't even catch his name. I'm staying right next to a guy, podcast listener, got his first big boy tonight, got him on a spinner bait here. And, you know, he's a podcaster. Nice. And we were laughing. And he went, man, we're here the right time. Because this place is on the rebound opposed to on the downtrend. And sometimes the weather is just so harsh. And I'm talking no bait fish are moving. You're talking to expert walleye anglers. No one's got a walleye for like 3 days, you know. So these things happen. It is what it is. But I'll tell you, when you face the toughest conditions, I think a lot of times with these extended trips, if you're on a trip with your buddy for 2 days and it hits like that, maybe you try to do next weekend, right? Maybe you reschedule the pickleball tournament or whatever you got to do the next weekend and you just kind of do something else. But you're on these trips. Be prepared to troll. I don't care where you're going in Canada. I don't care what you're doing. Are you going the big Wisconsin trip? You're going to Vermilion. You're going to Mille Lacs. You're whatever the heck you're doing. Be cognizant that you're going to have to adjust your game plan. We say it all the time. What you want and what the muskies want are often two different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's imperative that trolling become an option because ran into the same thing with neighbor Steve. We hit a little bit of a lick, and it was like everybody else in camp's kicking rocks, going, oh, shucks, the fish ain't eating. They're all dead. And we're freaking trolling over rocks, making hard contact. I broke more Joe Booker baits than a freaking train wreck, you know, and it was just like if I couldn't keep the lips on the things because I'm just making consistent hard bottom contact. But that's what it takes. Right. And that's not a anything to do with the bait. When you're trolling the Canadian rocks as hard as you can, 4 miles an hour and banging and danging, it is what it is. Right. But I left a lot of skin in the game is what I'm going to tell you the last few days. Doc Boy Randy, we were out there, and, you know, that's the first time he'd ever been in a boat. Most of his musky angling happened right there on the dock when the boats head out and all this stuff and figure eighting around buoys and whatnot. It was his first time in a legit boat, and we lost a lot of baits. How'd you do?
PBR, how'd you do?
Last week you brought up what would make, like, a really good boat. What are you looking for? What did you neglect to talk about? Probably one of the most important things of a boat. No, I'm not talking motors. I'm not talking electronics. I'm talking cooler space. So you didn't even bring it up. So some of the better boats out there do have multiple coolers. So that's very important.
Keep that in mind, folks. If you want, cold ice is nice, is what he says all the time. And then he holds his hand out looking for loonies, right? Cold ice is nice. How can you catch them out there with a hot drink? You can't. Anyway, so what I'm going to say is this. If you're just a caster and you're going on a big trip, think versatility. Get dialed in on trolling. It will save your trip. It will save the day. It will get you where you need to be. You can't come out here and go, well, it's going to be blades and topwater every day, all day. It is not, because it just falls apart sometimes. just like Doc Boy Randy's relationship to Lydia when Cliff moved in with the Peterbilt, if you know what I mean. Anyway, so Jay, man, I've seen a couple new things come at the Muskie Shop as well. I think we brought them up last week. Those live skin hell puppies, right?
Live image stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Live image. You got that? Whatever. You got the RJ
new chatter mags. Chatter mags from Violent Strike. Ooh. Got a couple new. Yeah.
Violent Strike. We got
Flashaboo and rubber.
Dial single hook. Daiwa X-Braid X8 fishing line. It is. What's
top
up?
Top of the top of the top of the heat.
Okay. 330 yards, 80 pound, $45.99. What is going on with that? What makes this like the primo premier? What are you getting for that?
Well, seeing that it's brand new, and I don't know anyone that's tried it yet. Let's take a look.
I'm reading here. Yeah, it says the tightest braid there is, as far as the weaving, and more abrasion resistant. What is that? Okay, so upgrade.
They play it up because it's Japanese made versus Chinese.
Yeah,
and their quality tends to be really good. Upgraded X8 is the most advanced material braided by the most advanced technology. All for great line.
Eight strings. You know, I'm telling you, I know another brand that's made in Japan. Anyway, next level. All right, Jay, let's get to some concepts. Let's get some talking. We are actually going out, believe it or not, back in the dark. Going out here, we've got some night fishing. It deserves a quiet night. Mm. Coming up here very shortly.
You got any wind this evening, or
no,
is it flat?
It's flatter than a flitter, as they say. Flatter than a
What's
flitter.
What's the attack plan?
The attack plan is we absolutely just dogged them during the minor. It was paying attention to majors and minors, even if it's after the fact, and that's what we did mm-hmm. today. Our plan of attack was go into town and get breakfast, right? Restock some supplies and get on the boat. Pull up, first spot, two come zooming in. Next spot, they're zooming in. You're like, what is going on after the fact? Like, oh, that all happened on the minor. It wasn't like I'm not a robot that lives this regimented, like, you know, every day I'm just losing my mind or something like that. Like, the major is, the minor is. But nonetheless, we went, ooh. And you went, you know what? There were biggies. Can't you see? Sometimes these muskies hypnotize me. And they're flying around on the minor. So, got a nighttime minor. Going to give that the old peaky poo.
Cool.
Going to give it the peak. What? We did the 3-point check. We actually did mid, shallow, and deep. Right? What are you going to do? You get out there and hit them and quit them. Anyway, let's see here. I'm scrolling through the official Muskie 3 corporate phone here. Let's hit some Q&A. See what happens. Okay. Mark from Tipler. I know you recommend locking down the drag for casting. I think we did that already. Did we? Maybe. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Okay. I've been casting all day, trolling all night. I know you recommend locking the drag down for casting. Not sure if I agree, but what about trolling? I've been setting it to slip fairly heavy, setting it in case I hang on a crib or other structural. I mostly fish alone and need time to react without busting up gear. I don't recall missing a hook set because of it, but would like your opinion. My drag on my trolling rods is cranked pretty dang good. Okay. I don't miss any. And again, the conversation of drag is kind of one of these deals where you got to feel it to know. I'm banging rock.
I was going to say, in a lot of cases, when you say you have the drag tight and then you back off about a quarter turn.
Yeah.
And then you pull. And, yeah. You know, something in that range.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those deals when I feel like we did that. My phone is acting crazy here. Hold on here. Anyway, that's the thing. Drag is drag. Until you come to the Muskie Shop Bash next year or get with a guide and go, how they said it. How's that feeling? All right. Dale, I want to know what kind of baits you guys recommend for tannic waters in the early fall. August is ending here very shortly, and we're going to be on the fall bite. What baits do you recommend early fall in Wisconsin and Illinois? Man, that's bladey, topwater, kraken-ish kind of stuff. Jay, what do you see as far as like playing to win early fall Wisconsin?
Yeah, the commonplace answer is break out the topwaters. It's topwater season, you know, early right. September when that cool water and the water temps start to drop a little bit, and the first, you know, that line of weeds starts to go away and all that.
Right.
But I have not. That's not a high percentage thing with me. Is the topwaters?
Right.
There's a time and place, obviously, for it. But that's where I really like using spinner baits and get up in the weeds that are going.
Get in that. Get in it. Get deep.
Bright colored stuff. Yeah, tannic water, bright colors.
Right. Well, a lot of times fish, when you have that fall kind of thing, I'm not talking turnover. It's not.
Yeah, way before turnover. Right.
But that. Doc Boy Randy wants a turnover so bad now. He's headed to Arby's. We got cherry, got apple. But nonetheless, what I'm getting at is the early fall, you'll have that cool off a little bit on the edges. Fish will slide up. Things that are weedless, like Jay said, spinner baits, your Steve's meat grinders, your tailgaters, that's going to get you where you want to be. Topwater does play. There's a lot of... I believe Doc Boy Randy did a prison sentence in Minnesota at one point. It seems like Minnesota, you got some early fall topwater up on the sand and the reeds. What do you think, Doc Boy Randy?
Ooh. I don't really want to talk about that right now, but you were being a little humble earlier because the neighbor who caught that 48, the podcast listener, was using one of your lures, which is pretty cool. Well, and speaking of lures, I noticed you haven't been pushing a couple of my ideas that I think should be at the Muskie Shop. I've got my new spinner baits. I got the 501L and the 500 Series A, which obviously the 501L is for left-handed people. And then the A is for Australian because everything goes counterclockwise down there. If you've ever been to Australia. So the toilets, they're totally different. They go the other way with the vortex. And also, I have a new kind of boat system for the trailer. It's called the Cranks 700. It looks a lot like the Tranks. But, yeah, you pretty much, it's a winch. You bring your boat on with, and it has anti-backlash and everything. But it'll get your boat up there, have it secure. But I haven't seen those on your website. But write them down.
Very good. Just
the drag system on this has not been perfected. We're not bringing it in until it passes.
It has to pass OSHA standards. Anyway, what I was getting at before he was locked up there. What you'll run into is you'll have shallow reed bite, shallow sand bite, things of that nature. Things that can get up and sloppy are important, followed by first break, first major break trolling, right? Whether it be you start looking at your mid-sized grandmas, you start looking at your headlocks, you start looking at all these different elements here, that can really play here, right? So, all things, I've got Danny Herbeck keeps calling me. Let me call him, Jay. Let's add it in here.
Hey, hold on. I just remembered something, Steve. Oh,
what?
Yeah, I think I had an idea. Did you hear earlier this week that Dick Stemke Jr. was spotted at the Little Bearskin boat launch when Tom and I were... Yeah, did you hear about that?
We'll get that. We'll get to that. Let me call Danny.
Okay.
I can't edit
get
up
him
the
on
call.
The horn.
Let's see if he says something filthy when I call. Holding.
What's up?
Danny, you're live on the podcast. You just called me here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Fantastic, Danny. We're doing the podcast, but I figure here we're talking about kind of the bite that's been going on. We're just some Q&A. What's going on in your world, guys? If you've not listened to the Canada Muskie Report with Danny Herbeck, what's going on? Who's your partner with that? What are you covering?
So I started doing it now with Joe Cooper. He's out of Lake of the Woods. He's a really good muskie stick, catches a lot of big fish. He fishes primarily the northwest angle.
Uh-huh.
And we're just you know, getting everybody up to speed and dialed in on what's going on up here.
Heck,
like
yeah.
Right now, we're coming off that major cold front.
Yeah, we were just talking about this.
They're starting to snap out of it, but they're, like your windows, I don't know, I'm sure you're seeing it, your windows are super short to make it happen.
Yeah, it was, I was saying we had the craziest miner I've ever seen up here, and yeah. all hell broke loose, yeah.
Tonight at the major at 6 o'clock, it was like to a T. I mean, they were so aggressive, they were like missing baits and making mistakes because they were so wound up, and we ended up losing three and having three missed baits at the boat. We never, ever caught one. I told the guys, I was like, we can't get any closer to catching one than what we did.
That was a lot of our day, too, where it's like, here comes screech weasels flying out like rocket ships, you know. They can't get more aggressive. You're getting them in the eight, and they're rah, rah, rah. So, yeah, the similar story. But, you know, Danny, let me ask you this. What I have here, you look at Canadian waters. Obviously, you got Coop. You know, you've got a complete mastery of Eagle Lake between you and your dad and everything. How do you transition different sections of these big Canadian lakes? What's your thought process on that? Like, how are you addressing that?
A lot of it is water clarity is one. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, obviously, like, the western end of the lake is much clearer, and then the further east you get, the dirtier the water gets. So, I mean, the clearer water, the fish tend to, you know, be more rock-related, deeper-related. And then as you trend east on the lake, as the water gets shallower, the fish tend to, you know, use shallower structures, be on the top of rocks. You know, it's just, and a lot of it is depending on where I go is just depending on condition, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the nice thing about Eagle. I can fish, you know, from gin clear water from 14 feet to water where I can only see 18 inches
right
in the same day.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep her moving and look for those different patterns and things of that nature. What would you say, just as a, you know, and these are some things you can pick up on that Canadian Muskie podcast. What's your feelings, Danny, on big, big, big Canadian Muskies? Nobody comes up to Canada to catch a dink, right? Nobody's up here to catch a 32. We went out the other night and we were giggling about it, and I made you take a picture of me with a 38, and Danny nearly vomited in the boat. just complete disgust and disdain. What would you say about locations? And I'm not giving them a spot, but is it a proximity to deep water? What's the combination that sort of ticks your brain off for big fish in Canada?
Well, I mean, there's two scenarios. And I always refer, you know, to the study Larry Ramsell did on Eagle Lake.
Uh-huh.
He had a 55-incher tagged, and that fish used all the mainland points and reefs adjacent to the deepest part of the basin when it was feeding, and then when she wasn't, she was way, way back in the sloppiest, skinniest stuff you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, if you're seeking a giant, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you want to be, in my opinion, you want to be, you know, on the main, close to the main basin. You know, if, you know, I look back at, you know, every time of the spots I've always caught all my biggest fish. They dump off, you know, from the feeding shelf, you know, 10 to 20 feet, and then they dump off in the 70, 60 feet
mm-hmm.
within, you know, 70 yards.
Right.
Easy access.
Yep. Deep water adjacent big fish. Danny, let me ask you a question. A guy sitting here, we call him Dock Boy Randy, right? You were once a dock boy. I think you started out as a dock boy. What are your tips for an aspiring dock boy?
Make a lot of casts off the dock and get good at it.
Make a lot. That's what he's saying. You know, there you go. So, guys, check it out. It was just serendipitous. Danny gave me a shout here. You know, just a great angler, great stick. And I'll tell you flat out, I love coming up here and visiting and fishing with my friends, but Danny has a really good mastery of Canadian Waters, adding Joe Cooper to this thing. This thing's going to run for a little bit. I think there'll be some specials over the winter and stuff like that on how to get dialed in. So when you're planning your trip to Canada, be dialing in on that. That's available on the app. I'm not plugging it, but it's really informative. He knows his stuff. And he's even got tips for dock boys. It's amazing, you know? So here we go. Danny, thank you so much, bud. Okay. I'll give you a shout here in a minute once we wrap her up, okay?
Sounds good, man. Take care.
Be good.
Later.
Jay, you still there?
Woof, I am.
Man, sorry about the popcorn sound there. It was popping and rocking, but we're in Canada, right?
Yep, sounds like he was backing up a truck at the same time. That guy could do everything.
Yeah, you know what? You get freaking everybody's working for the weekend.
Darn tootin'.
That, what are you going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Danny Herbeck doesn't allow people that stomp in the boat in the boat. Well, I don't know. Maybe he gives them rubber shoes. You know? Anyway.
I think he's a moose road trucker.
Moose road trucker? What are you going to do? No, it's interesting. You know what? We Q&A, whatever here. What he was saying is so structurally true. Right? You know, the way he put it is what we've been hammering for everything. You know, muskies spend the majority of their time in deep water, and they come up for short periods, right, to predate, and then they go back to holding. Today was like shallow water, fish showed up, wham, bam, thank you, man. Giants flying around, 48s, 50 inches, flying around like space monkeys. Then you go back at the major, which happened to correlate with sunset, and it's dink fest, right? It's dink fest kind of popping around here, and things are happening where you're going, huh? It was like a shift change, and we've talked about that before. It's like Larry doesn't live, or Jerry or Terry doesn't live on whatchamacallit rock next to Succotoban Bay, right? That is a feeding area adjacent to deep water where structure leads them in, structure leads them out, right? Every place that we're hitting right now, I can tell you right now, is adjacent to the deepest basin, and there's actually a reef complex right off of them. Now, I don't have to hit the reefs, but I can show you on the map. Here's where we're at, and there's a reef. Here's where we're at, and there's a hump. Walleyes move up, walleyes move down, muskies move in, muskies move out. So understanding structure and understanding the corollaries between deep water transitions and littoral zones is super imperative, no matter how you put it. Danny just put it very well, and it's a different take where you go, this is how, you know, the sausage is made. If you like it or not, it's not a theory. It is true. It's a treatise. And the biggest muskies tend to hang next to the biggest water. Now, you're going to have the anomaly where freaking Dock Boy Randy's casting down there. You know, he's trying to, there's a Triton pulls in. They need a fresh bag of 10-pound clear. He's trying to figure out. They pull over past the buoys, you know, every now and again in the dumb spot, you'll see the double nickel come in, right? He was singing on the boat today. He's like, I can't catch 55. It was impossible. But the juxtaposition to a shallow food shelf to deep water holding areas is like probably the most dominant thing. Now, people go, well, I fish inland lakes and waters in Wisconsin. It's the same old stuff, right? Same old. It's all relative. Just like my dating scene when I lived in West Virginia. It's all relative. So you've got to just make sure that you're paying attention to things. If the lake's only 20 feet, didn't even get a laugh in the room. Jeez, played out. I roll. But you get set up here where, you know, it could be a 15-foot deep Wisconsin lake, but if you have a food shelf adjacent to that, and it's about really breaking down. So, again, lakes that seem the most boring take the most study. You know, up here in Canada, it was like, here's Donkey Kong Reef adjacent to, you know, the world's biggest cabbage bed. It's a no-brainer, right? There's a place I took Dock Boy Randy today where I said, listen, you know, if you don't cut me a deal on some clear cubes, you're out of the boat. But I caught Orange Rock. It is the most stupid-looking, that's where muskies live, Right? Oh, there's boulders, there's weeds, there's flats, there's this, there's that. So paying attention to that and really breaking down, because what I find when people go on these trips, heck, it could be your Wisconsin trip, it could be your trip to wherever. They're going, where's the weeds? They start, where's the weeds in the summer? And they're going, weed, 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 weed. And you can find bays where it's the never-enders. I call them never-enders. 4 hours later, right? It's like Doc Boy bringing in. Doc Boy Randy looks like he needs to say something. He's just jonesing. What do you got to say?
No, you talked about that Orange Rock Reef or whatever. I mean, that's the closest thing to probably Bonnaroo that Wabagoon has going for it. So, and I caught a little brief period there where you're talking about how the sausage was made or hot dogs made or whatever, yeah. And apparently that attracts the big muskies. But no, on a serious note, when you were talking about trolling, it is amazing how much you actually do learn by trolling, you know, whether or not the fish is suspended, you know, the transitions of the bottom, hard bottom, soft bottom, clay, chancer's buried in there. So if you do need to take a break and move off a structure, you've done your three-point check. So you're like, oh gosh, are they buried in the weeds or possibly are they out there? You'd be surprised how many suspendos you might just kind of come across. And it's really tough to, you know, just peg where something like that might be. But just listen to Danny Herbeck, the deep stuff next to the structure, it's like, yeah, they're going to hang out there. So just find out, you know, where they are staging. And you can learn a lot by trolling. So don't be afraid to try that.
Absolutely. It's truly one of those deals where, you know, in looking at how I asked you about the sections is, you can't compare, Jay, it could be like Tomahawk in Minocqua. It's a big body of water, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not Canadian, but it's big, it's sizable. You can't compare one side of that to the other side of this, or you can't compare one side of the Goon to the other side of the Goon, or Eagle, where, you know, I can run from Niven to the Western Arm, you know. I run from Niven to the Western Arm, and it's a whole different ballgame, right? So from gin clear to just muddy buddy stuff, it's kind of a different scenario. So it's keeping your head on the swivel and making adjustments, you know, and just understanding, like, the biggest of the bigs are going to kind of adhere to those rules. You know, there's always an outlier in the bell curve. You're always going to find, thank you, sir, you're always going to find something that kind of hangs outside of that realm. However, majority of the time, that's going to be it. You know, like right now, looking at game planning for tomorrow, you go, well, weather's consistent, water's consistent, wind's consistent. I would bet we're going to see a consistent turnout, right, on that minor. Mm-hmm, now, mm-hmm. It might not happen, but when sundown's just falling apart and things are just absolutely falling apart, put your shirt down, Doc Boy Randy. Put your shirt down. Anyway, when things are just, you know, falling apart, you can't count on that. But when you get consistency, it's going to matter. And like he was saying, the learning curve of trolling, learning this. You guys saw me in the boat yesterday. I marked two new humps. And I went, well, didn't know that was there. Been there, drove over that a million times again. Okay, there's two new humps there. Where you're learning the lake, you're still got a bait in the water and things of that nature. Let me ask you this, because Cliff, right? Believe it or not, Cliff read a book on weather. Talk about how that transition happens. Give us some weather knowledge on harsh transitions, pressure, and what happens in a system.
Well, Steve, you're obviously the musky expert, but I do have a little bit of expertise with meteorology and
Doc Boy Randy saw a meteor once.
And the Northern Lights.
Oh, we did see
the Northern Lights. That was
From the dock.
Best spot.
But yeah, I mean, obviously we're on a warming trend lately up here in Canada. Moisture's increased each day. We've seen that through
the... Heard that with Lydia, too.
Well, we don't want to talk about Lydia. Doc Boy Randy and I... We've actually navigated the nuances of third-party contact this summer. So Lydia, she doesn't have much on us. But that's another story. We're talking about weather. And
keep talking about weather, Cliff.
Thanks, Doc Boy Randy. Obviously, this week we've seen a warming trend, and that's led to more stability. And you know, Steve, you're the muskie expert, but obviously muskie are products of their environment, and they like, just like humans. There's two things a human doesn't like: the way things are and change. And muskies really don't like change. So stability in the environment, like we have right now with a warming trend and increasing moisture, that's only good for muskie fishing.
What would you say, like, it's something I know you can't read, but, you know, when I was working on the book, I almost talked about going through the different counts of clouds.
Yeah, sure. And I pointed that out yesterday to you. Right.
Buck Perry. Not to cut you off, but Buck Perry, in his treatise he did about fishing, talked about the different kinds of clouds, their altitude mm-hmm. and their composition, yep. and how that affected fishing. What's kind of a general, like, what do they look like and what's going
sure.
on there?
Sure. I mean, we're coming off a big cold front here in Canada. Like, you know, Steve could see his breath in the cabin last week.
And it was not smoke.
And it wasn't smoke.
From Doc Boy Randy's bong.
But you know, so we've got the warming trend. And as I pointed out on yesterday, you know, we had some alto cumulus clouds, which are indicated of a warming trend, mid-level moisture increasing in the atmosphere. Like? Fish scales, basically. Puffy fish scales, right? Today, I noticed right away on the lake, we had towering cumulus clouds, increasing moisture. You know, as we progress with this warming trend, we'll see increasing moisture, increasing instability. I wouldn't be surprised if perhaps we have some overnight thunderstorms or, you know, that leads to rain later in the week. But as we build up to that and as the barometer starts to fall, that's when the fish get active, right? They sense the change, but they also, they're in a stable environment. When you've got 3-4 days in the 80s, like we're going to have around 80 degrees here in Canada, I mean, that's going to move the fish, right? Mm-hmm. After a cold front, right? They are products of their environment. They certainly know, just like in fall when they put the feed bag on and they're trying to eat everything that moves. You know, in the summer, like, it's late summer. The daylight conditions are changing. If you're paying attention to the sunrise and sunset, it's earlier and earlier every day. The days are getting shorter. Like, fish are products of their environment. Muskie's the ultimate predator. They're paying attention to that. And so, you know, if you're out targeting muskie, if you're looking for those patterns, obviously the best thing for fishing is stability with weather, but we're seeing that right now in Canada. We're building up to that stable environment, that warm environment. You know, out there we're throwing topwater, we're throwing spinners, we're up there in the slop where the fish are hanging out adjacent to deep water, and you know, we're seeing results. We're seeing the fish that are getting more and more active. You know, we've been hitting it hard for, what was this, day three, right? We're not done. We are not done because we're going back out soon. But, you know, we're seeing it. We're seeing the activity of the fish. We're also seeing the host bleed a little. I'm not sure what's going on there.
That's called a musky wound. Steve's bleeding again.
Steve's bleeding.
It's a cry for help. Cliff, are you?
We might end up at the regional medical center.
Yeah. He just bleeds, just random. I've got a big, I got a hook wound on one hand and musky knuckles. Let me ask you this, musky Cliff. Knuckles.
You're from Nova Scotia, and is your last name McDonald?
Can you do a Canadian tornado siren like Frankie McDonald?
Well, we did hear the train sound earlier, and we thought Dryden went up 1-0 against Fort Francis in hockey, but that was actually I believe a Canadian Pacific train on the main line through town. But
let me ask you this. something a lot of people see when it comes to post-frontal, the high wispy clouds.
Yes.
Right?
Cirrus.
What's going on is that
so you're actually, when you see the high wispy clouds, that's generally prefrontal. That's a sign of that instability and emerging system from generally the west or the northwest that's coming in. The cirrus clouds aloft will generally precede a thunderstorm complex. So that's your clue to get ready. I mean, Steve, I mean, we talked about it. Some of your best days ever on the water have been right before storms are about to hit. And obviously you have to be concerned about your safety and the lightning and things. But really, I mean, anybody that's fished for any period of time knows that when you have a thunderstorm complex moving in, you that's the fish are on because yeah. they sense the weather is going to change. And, you know, when you have that cold front where you push it down into 40s right. in yeah. summer, the fish are, yeah. again, they're much like humans. They hate change, right? Yeah. They hate change. It affects them. It changes everything. So, you know, we got a lot in common with the big predators of the fresh water, right? Right, Randy?
Yeah, pretty much like you're saying. When I see the cumulus nimbus rolling in, that's pretty much a busy time at the dock too. It's like a lunar time where I am going to sell a
you're
lot more ice.
You're just making things up now.
I am not.
Talk about the Saskatchewan skunk ape.
No, what I do want to talk about is wake awareness. So, like when you're coming into camp, you know, or just to come in to grab a bag of ice.
Wake
it's
awareness.
Not really funny. Yeah, it's well, serious. Top. You're okay.
There's the other.
Yeah, everybody, sit down. All right,
I'm
gonna have some hard
truths
here.
About Randy.
Keeping it real with Randy. Watch out. So
when the guy yells at you, it doesn't mean he doesn't like you.
Yeah, I mean, so it's my first time off the dock, but I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I didn't know musky fishing was a lot like boot camp, you know. But it's fun. But back to the serious topic, wake awareness. So you are responsible for your wake, you know, only you can choose to make that wake how big you want to make it. But when you're rolling into camp, rolling in for a bag of ice, shut her down early and often, people, okay? You don't need to rock the boat.
There you go.
You don't need to wreck the docks yeah, right, or, you know, man. Various structures around the shorefront.
No camp revs.
So, and also, if you talk to Danny Herbeck again, I'm having a problem. I need an otter deterrent system. So if you could, they're getting into the ice. So I don't know if he has any ideas, but I'm looking for some otter deterrence.
Were you there, Doc? Were you there when Steve did that victory donut in front of the dock? Did you hear about that?
Did you hear about the victory donut?
No, I wasn't present for the victory donut. I heard about it. So I read his book
totally
and
illegal.
It said, you know, stay and make it pay. But I stayed on the dock. And I got paid for ice. I'm like, and they came in doing a donut, and I'm just like, okay, you're also making a wake. I'm glad you caught a fish, but back to wake awareness, but happy for you.
You know, they don't play up here. This is not a game, folks. There's no joking in fish camp. You know, Doc Boy Randy's a ball buster. I saw him yell at some Mennonites today. Slow down! Flagging him. He's got those two sticks like an air traffic control. Slow down. You're going to break the dock. Unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Guys, that's the hottest tip of the year. Wake awareness. But anyway, you know what? Hopefully this helps. I don't care where you're at in the musky habitat range. Understanding structure, understanding the corollaries between deep water and shallow food shelves is going to get you where you need to be. We're going to let Doc Boy Randy close it out with a soliloquy, Jay.
Oh, no.
On ice prices, and how his life sucks.
No, you guys are aware of what happened last week with the stock market crash. Don't think that didn't affect big ice. So, yeah, we all took a hit, but you need to stay strong. So, if you are investing in big ice, just keep the course. So have faith. It's going to come back. We'll do all right, all right?
You have a GoFundMe?
I don't, but I do have bracelets for wake awareness. So, and you know what color they are?
What?
They're blue.
They're blue.
Like the water.
All right, guys. All right, Chamber. Say goodnight.
All right, guys.
Later.
See ya.